Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, it's almost Thanksgiving time. That means even more football, even earlier football. I'm pretty excited about the holiday and about the football games this week. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. For those that don't know, we're recording this on Thanksgiving Eve. When I hang up here, I'm going to go do my Steelers show, and then I'm pretty much basically off until middle of Friday or so. However, much to my wife's dismay, especially now that Christmas has taken over football, I will be parked in front of the TV for all three games. We'll be over my parents, bunch of people there. It's always a blast, but it's also some work for me too. But at least I'm not, you know, at the facility or with the team. How about you? What's your big plans for tomorrow?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. Just watch as much football as I can, eat as much as I can. It should be fun. I was thinking about my dynasty teams this week. I've got a couple of pretty rare situations with some league formats that our playoffs actually start this week. Actually, all the kitchen sink leagues. So that's five for me. We start playoffs this week. Some of my other leagues, including the hyperactive leagues that we're in together, start next week. So for a lot of those teams, that means I'm getting ready for the playoffs. But unfortunately, with a couple of those teams, that means I am getting ready for a toilet bowl appearance. And, you know, that's fine. I still like to compete in that, and I would be glad to win that. But with those teams, I'm really, really starting to think about the 2018 rookie class, or I guess I should say continuing to think. It's always kind of in the back of my mind. But I think a lot of dynasty owners are probably in that same boat, that they're thinking about and looking more towards what they might be able to get with their rookie picks. With that in mind, we have an awesome guest today. I'm pretty excited to talk to him. We've got Lawrence Chaney from Dynasty Football Factory. Lawrence is the VP of College Scouting and Development over there. He also is one of the hosts of their Devy Watch podcast, and recently just started doing some work with Optimum Scouting. Lawrence, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's great, man. I'm excited to jump on. You know, you reached out to me and asked me to come through with you guys, and this is always one of the, you know, more prominent podcasts in our industry. So, you know, I was really excited. I'm happy to be on.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Like I said, I follow college football pretty closely. I know Matt not quite as much. We're gonna try to catch him up, Lawrence. Mainly you. I know this is really a passion for yours. Maybe even more than fantasy football itself. I don't want to speak for you too much, but I know it's one part of the game you really love, and we're gonna pick your brain a little bit today, if that's all right.
Yeah, no, perfect. And it is. I mean, you know, I came onto this thing with the intent to, you know, dive into the scouting world and just get my feet wet. That's when Michael Goins from Dynasty Football Factory reached out to me, and I've always been a fantasy guy, you know what I mean. But once he reached out to me in that aspect, asking me to write about rookies a few years ago, you know, I jumped on, and obviously it molded in more so to a fantasy deal. And, you know, I've always known that Devy, you know, sort of combines the two. So that's what I rolled with. And yeah, scouting's my passion, you know, and I do have a passion for dynasty football as well. So it all worked out.
Lawrence, I'm just curious, have you been a draft geek your whole life like I was? I mean, in my day, like as a kid, when I was basically from age 10 and through college, there was no internet. There was no draft sites. You know, I got Mel's book. I would go to the local drugstores or whatever, buy every draft guide I possibly could, read every word in them. And I've told the story on the air before, but like my mom, back in the day, it wasn't even on the weekends. The draft was on during the week. And my mom, I could have 104 fever and I was going to school. But on draft day, I got to stay home.
See, I wish I would have had the same, you know, deal with my family letting me stay home for draft. But no, I've always been into it. And I didn't go as far as, you know, getting, you know, Kuiper's book and all that stuff. But I was very tuned in, and more so obviously following the rounds and seeing who's going where, but more so diving into what the Seahawks need. You know, I'd write down what the Seahawks need and try to do my best to
I used to write Chuck Noll letters, dude.
Yeah. You know, I thought about writing the last 2 years, I've thought about writing Schneider a letter, but I was like, I'll work my way through, you know, I'll let destiny unfold if anything happens. But yeah, no, I've always really enjoyed the draft, and something I've always been into, obviously watched it a lot. And yeah, like you said, for me, you know, growing up, I didn't have the most access to internet that I would have liked, but I was always following on ESPN and everything and trying to get the names of the bigger prospects that would fit for my team. So I've been a draft nerd.
Love it.
All right, Lawrence, let's really just dive in and talk about the 2018 rookie drafts, what they could potentially look like. Obviously, we don't know for sure since we don't know all the players they're going to be making up that class. Those prospects have decisions to make, but it is safe to say that Saquon Barkley, the Penn State running back, is locked in at the top, and he's going to be certainly the most popular prospect and topic, and we're actually just going to skip over him today. A lot has been mentioned about him. Definitely on your guys' podcast, you all do a good job covering everybody from the top, the top of the rung all the way down. So let's go beyond Barkley, who I think is kind of locked into a tier of his own at the very top. After that, what does that next tier look like? How deep is it? And who are maybe some players that you might be targeting or suggesting listeners target from 1-2 to 1-6, that top half of the first round beyond Barkley?
Yeah, no, and I feel the same way. I was a big Geis advocate coming into the year, and Barkley, with his, you know, receiving prowess, he was able to separate himself. I think that's what did the job. And obviously, very hot start was, you know, the early Heisman favorite. So I agree with that, you know. And as I mentioned, Geis, I think he's still there. You know, he played injured most of the year, but he has that different mentality, man. He's an absolute animal, and he's got very good fluid. He's got nasty cuts, and just, I don't know. I think for him, he has the ability to catch balls out of the backfield. It's just not something that LSU caters to in that offense with the running backs. You know, they
sort of
tend
like
to,
Cornette, you know, where you can still dump it to him. I mean,
yeah, exactly. And it's like, okay. I still think he's right up there. I think he's one notch right below Saquon Barkley. And, you know, I think for sure he's going to be the guy that's going 1.02 in drafts, especially with the combine rolling around. That whole range, I mean, it's pretty deep. You know, I know you said 1.02 to 1.06, but I got a list of names that I think are pretty much locked into the top eight spots. And, you know, barring any setbacks throughout the process with injuries or whatever it is and any more character stuff. And that's you know, right after him, Courtland Sutton and Auden Tate, the two big receivers that I'm pretty sure Courtland Sutton's declaring. He accepted his invitation to the Senior Bowl, even though he's a redshirt junior. So I think he's locked in to declare. Tate, on the other hand, from Florida State, I'm not sure if he declares or not, but I think it's a good opportunity for him too because of what he's been able to put on tape. He's another big guy. He's practically the size of Kelvin Benjamin, give or take a few pounds, but he's much more athletic. And, you know, I know teams are going to absolutely love that down in the red zone. And his playmaking ability is just – he's the main target for that Florida State offense, and he does a damn good job of, you know, producing at a pretty high level. Then right after that, Nick Chubb, he's another guy who's – there's been a lot of talk about him lately on Twitter, and it's either this or that to – it's hot or cold. You know, it's for me, he's my number three running back currently, and still he's been that. Some people are trying to peg him as a linear guy, but if you watch him and you dig into his tape, you can see that he still has really good fluid lateral movements, and he's not very productive catching balls out of the backfield. It's not his strong suit, which can knock him some, but he shows the good burst. And the most important attribute when it comes to Nick Chubb, and I think when it comes to the NFL teams, is going to be his vision in the backfield. And that's I think that's really important. I think that puts him up there. Then right after that, I'll mention three more guys, and that's James Washington, the senior wide receiver out of Oklahoma State, who's just insane, 20-plus yards per catch, and he's been productive for quite some time now, looks very athletic on tape, and, you know, he's just a guy that his production, he's able to pair it with what he does. He's a little – needs some refinement in the route running area. He's sort of, I guess, one-dimensional in that aspect, but he has – the suddenness within him to you know, expand on his route running. And then right after, Calvin Ridley, who for some might end up being wide receiver one. And I think he's one of the safer picks. The only knock for Ridley, obviously, is going to be his age. But, man, he's very refined as a route runner. And then Ronald Jones, running back from USC. He's explosive. You know, you're going to hear the Jamal Charles takes when it comes to Ronald Jones. He's improved his functional strength this year to break tackles, and he's got that home run hitting ability. So those are some names that I see that are pretty locked into that upper part of the first round.
Jones's stock has really climbed in the last, you know, since the season started, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing is for me last year, I wasn't too high on Ronald Jones just because when I watched him, I didn't necessarily see his ability to create. You know, he was getting good running lanes, and when he seen daylight, he was able to really, really hit it and take it to the house. But he was being drugged down by arm tackles, wasn't necessarily showing that strength or that ability to break tackles that I wanted. But it's something that he improved on this year. And, you know, so for me, along with a lot of other people, his draft stock really rose.
Yeah, it feels good to hear you say that about some of these guys, just that top tier. I don't know. I guess I've been dismissing this class a little bit, and maybe we've just been spoiled by the current rookie class that we've got. It's good to hear some good news. Let's go back to Chubb for a second, if we can. Of course, we all remember what he did as a freshman and then as a sophomore prior to that injury. Do you feel like is he all the way back from that knee injury? Will he ever be all the way back? Tell us a little bit more about how you see him bouncing back.
I mean, I know that was a gruesome injury. I don't think he's 100% back to what he was, just because, you know, he was the top spark back coming out of high school. Insane numbers from an athletic standpoint. And I think it's something that he might be able to replicate when it comes to the combine and, you know, his testing. Just this last week, man, he on one of his runs, obviously he showed quite a bit in just that one run. You know, I'm sure it's something that Matt Waldman would love to break down with, you know, that one play showed Nick Chubb's ability to, you know, get side to side, press the hole, bounce it out, and show good vision, and then just burst top end speed all the way to the end zone. I think he's not quite 100% there, but, you know, 95, 90% Chubb is still better than a lot of running backs out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Lawrence, last year we did a show similar to this about this same time. We had Matt Caraccio on talking some of those 2017 rookies, and we were talking about guys like Chubb and guys like James Washington, and then they burned us a little bit. They went back to school. That was for me, at least, it was a surprise. Freeman was in there as well, the Oregon running back. So all those guys chose to go back to school. Who are some of the big names that – dynasty owners might be looking at, or even if you play Devy leagues, you might be looking at as part of this 2018 class, but guys, you just have a hunch, or maybe you've heard some info that they might end up going back to school for next season.
Well, one name that really comes up just because I've, you know, heard rumors, that's Ronald Jones from USC. That's one that I've heard rumors about, and obviously Sam Darnold. You know, those Sam Darnold rumors have been going around for a little while. And if he chooses to return, you know, there's a good chance that Jones might return as well to try and make that run for the national championship. And that's one name that comes to mind. I mean, there's other guys that we can speculate that are juniors, you know, maybe like a Christian Kirk, even a Ridley. But with Ridley, his age, I think he's got to make the jump. Miles Gaskin, right in my backyard up there in Washington, he's one who's been extremely productive, owns the rushing touchdown record for the Huskies now. But, man, he's a fantastic player, and I think for me, I sort of wanted him to make the jump because of their incoming freshman this year, Salvin Ahmed for UW. I want to see him get the tote the rock, but Gaskin could be one that makes the return as well, and who knows? I mean, Damien Harris, another one for Alabama. You know those Alabama, you know, Saban gets those guys to stick around, and I don't know how he does it. There might be something involved there, but he gets those guys to stick around, so... Those are some names that might break our hearts by returning to school.
The Alabama running back thing is interesting. They're always so loaded at that position. I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Scarborough could actually come back to school. People talked about him going early last year. I believe he was a redshirt sophomore last year, redshirt junior this year. So technically he could come back as well. It's probably fair to say he's had a little bit of a disappointing season based on the way he ended last year. I think expectations kind of got maybe a little overblown for him. Both Harris and Scarborough, I guess, will face a decision about going back to school or going to the NFL.
Lawrence, who do you prefer of those two?
For me, I mean, I guess a lot of it deals with what type of scheme they're in, but I think, you know, last year I would have said Bo Scarborough, and I'm sure a lot of people would have, and he should have made that jump just because of the insane hype that he had down the stretch. But now with, you know, the versatility that Damien Harris has showed, and he showed it throughout his career, but he's another one like Ronald Jones who sort of lacked that functional strength to break those tackles. And I know not every running back needs to break tackles in order to impress or be successful at the next level, but it's just something I prefer. But now with everything that's happened over this past year, I think I prefer Damian Harris.
While we're talking Bama, their rival Auburn, this Kerryon Johnson dude, a couple people have told me about him that he's a lot better than the credit he's getting. Have you watched much of him?
Yeah, actually I have. I watched him a lot last year. He was a guy that I was sort of fond of in my Debbie rankings from the running back position. Then the rumors of, and actually what was going into this year is their other big back, Cameron Petway, was set to be the starter. And Johnson is one who, you know, they called him lightning and thunder, and he shows a good deal of agility as well. And it's a situation where I think he can improve, or he needs to improve his long speed, but I like him, and I think he returns as well. But if he comes out, he's one that with his production and his dominator rating, I mean, a lot of teams are going to like him, especially with the traits that he possesses. And he's improved his power as well. He's one that can, you know, really lay the lumber and break some tackles as well. So yeah, I do like Johnson.
You talked about Ridley and Tate kind of having that decision and maybe, you know, maybe you might consider going back. That I know you're fond of that 2019 wide receiver class, which just is loaded. So it seems like, I don't know, to me, if you're eligible this year and you're a wide receiver, you should just go ahead and declare and avoid that crowded 2019 class.
Oh yeah, man. I love that class. And it's funny, early in the summer, I was trying to, you know how great the 2014 class was. I was trying to find some type of, you know, correlation between the two. All I had to go off was their freshman seasons, you know? And so I did some numbers, ran some numbers on both classes. And obviously 2014, blew this 19 class out the water, so I didn't even write the article because it wasn't really beneficial. But I still love that class, and yeah, I think if you're going to make a decision, you got to jump, because you got a handful of true wide receiver ones coming for the 2019 class. There's not that many in this class. There is very good complementary pieces in depth, but yeah, if you want a, you know, chance to go a little higher than you would next year, I think you make the jump.
You have me intrigued now, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but do you think that class could rival the Beckham, Evans, Sammy Watkins class?
I mean, those
pretty strong.
Yeah, those guys were just too absurd. You know what I mean? I know Beckham didn't necessarily have the numbers, but everything that he had in terms of his traits, what he put on tape was just spectacular. Watkins had one of the best freshman seasons of all time. You know, Mike Evans made Johnny Manziel a Heisman Trophy winner. I know Manziel was a stud as well, but I don't know. I can't put that on them right now. I can't put those expectations on those wide receivers, but I do think they'll definitely be the best class since them.
Okay.
Yeah, for me with that 2019 class, it's just about volume. I mean, there's, you know, not all of those guys are going to hit. Not even all of those guys are going to be drafted high. Like probably one or two or three of the guys that, Lawrence, that we're really looking at right now will flame out and maybe go undrafted or something like that. But there's 10 or 12 of these names that are just so impressive. They're playing so well. They have the measurements. They seemingly have it all to be similar to that 2014 class. So that's where I don't want to say they have an advantage over that group, because really that was kind of the same thing the 2014 class had going. There were just so many good players. And even if, you know, if half or three-fourths of those guys hit, fantasy owners are going to be taking advantage.
Yeah, that's just going to be a situation where there's so much depth. And it's kind of like, you know, last year's running back class where they were hyped up to, you know, just so much hype surrounding them. And then, you know, next thing you know, it fizzled out a little bit. But then you're seeing that the depth did work out for this class. And I think that's how it'll be next year. And you touched on it. It's a situation where teams are going to be able to grab guys who could potentially be top wide receiver ones in the second round, get some guys that are fringe wide receiver ones in the third round just because of the depth. So it's an exciting class, man. I can't wait for it. I know they haven't completely blown it up this year like a lot of us hoped, but I think, you know, next year when they get to that season, they'll be able to transition, and that experience will help them out, and, you know, they'll be able to start producing DK Metcalf. especially will start producing the way I think that he should.
And one note on that for our listeners is be aware that GMs know these things. So maybe that'll affect how these teams look at this offseason a little bit. Like, maybe we'll pass on receiver in the first or second round because we know next year's coming. Or we'll spend money elsewhere as opposed to free agency on an Alshon Jeffrey or an Allen Robinson or something like that. But it'll be on their minds if do we view receiver as a need or not. Well, let's wait. We'll go somewhere else with our top pick. So that's a possibility. I also want to take the opportunity now to tell you a little bit about our sponsors. Harry's has been really, really good to us. I've been hooked from them for quite some time. I told you that I've done podcasts now for, geez, like 13, 14 years. And some podcasts I've done in the past, Harry's sponsored. So I got hooked on them then. And now they're with us. I guess I should just be thankful for it since it's Thanksgiving Eve. I've mentioned before, I have real fair skin, so that's why I got away from blades to begin with. But because of the Harry's combination of their great blades and their the balms and things that they give you that are really great, I have no problems with that whatsoever. And it's also, this time of year, too, it'd be a great gift. Here's why Harry's is the perfect gift. If you already know that Harry's makes amazing quality products at a super reasonable price, Harry's is a company that guys love. Over 3 million dudes have already switched, including myself. It's a very practical gift. He'll get a lot of use out of. You can personalize it to make him feel special. You choose a color that's right from him. They have limited edition holiday colors right now, too, going on. It's a custom gift set that's fit his specific needs. Even a box for guys that already uses Harry's. And you can also personally engrave it, too, which is pretty cool. This holiday, Harry's is offering a custom and limited edition shaving sets that make perfect gifts. Their gift sets are built with your guy in mind, so you know he'll love them. They come from German-engineered five-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave. Foaming shave gel that smells amazing. My wife loves it. Special limited edition water, chrome, and emerald green handles. And personalize it with engraving if you want. No matter what you're looking for, Harry's has you covered. Some come ready to gift in beautifully designed gift boxes. Gift sets start at just $10. They have great stocking stuffers. Even get something for yourself at Harry's while you're there. So, as a special offer for our fans, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your holiday order when you go to harrys.com/dynasty. The offer is only available for the holidays. So, this holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. You get your holiday shopping done early and take advantage of free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, go to harrys.com/dynasty right now.
Lawrence, one of the guys who's has really burst onto the scene this year is the Stanford running back Bryce Love. He had a certainly a solid career, but really has moved up the ranks and has shown what he can do this year. What do you think of him specifically, and who are maybe some other players who have really gained some value this year and could potentially be a first-round dynasty rookie pick?
Yeah, if anybody out there listens to the Debbie Watch Pod that we run, it's the thing with Bryce Love is I messed up on that one. I watched him last year and I had him ranked pretty high. You know, I had him ranked I think 28th overall for Debbie prospects coming in this year. This was back in May and then or back in March or something like that. And then I dug into him a little bit more and of course this is what hurts me is like I've said with Ronald Jones and Damian Harris is. The inability to break tackles and show, you know, strength as a runner. Well, that's changed. You know, obviously that's not the case anymore. He runs through some pretty wide open holes, but he's still a guy. I mean, that USC game, he was breaking a ton of tackles. And I don't know why I hold so much stock into that. It's just something that I prefer with the, you know, the hard nosed style of football that I like. He's amazing, man. Very athletic guy. Great burst, great speed, great agility. Just, I think he's got the whole package outside of the production from a receiving standpoint, and I think he can do that. Because last year when I was watching his tape when he was relieving Christian McCaffrey, he was able to show that he can, you know, be productive out of the backfield, and he's pretty natural pass catcher.
You had mentioned that you have a hard time with guys that don't break tackles. And I just wanted to make a note that, I mean, I think we have to realize these are still very young men. And a couple of the backs you've mentioned have gotten better at it, you know, another year in the weight room. Some of these dudes are only 19, 20 years old. And I also wonder, I just wanted to get your thoughts on this from a scouting perspective, because the league is doing more spread and getting these guys in space, might it be a little less important than it was 10 years ago? Not that it will always be important, but.
I definitely agree with that. And the thing with this is, you know, when we're doing our Devy rankings and all that stuff, obviously the finished product is what matters for the NFL. And for me, you know, it's trying to project those guys into gaining those extra 5-10 pounds and if they can add that weight to their body. And obviously, you know, the guys I've mentioned previously have done so, especially Ronald Jones. He's added 10 pounds, something like that. But yeah, I think it's not, like you said, it's not needed as much. It's something they can transition away from just because it's a pass happy league, the spread offenses. And you want to be able to get those guys out in space, and you want those guys that can do that. So, you know, no, I definitely see your point. And it's something that for me personally, that I do, you know, have to get in the mindset of to transition over as well. You know, it's not like I'm some old, you know, guy, like, you know, back in the Chicago Bear days, that's just hard, tough nose football, but I am still sort of used to that style of football. So yeah, it's something that I think these guys are taking into account, and that they're still able to be successful, even though they're not, you know, running 2 or 3 guys over in one play.
So Lawrence, you didn't mention Bryce Love in your top 8 you shared with us earlier. Would you have him in the first round right now?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think him and Jones are two that you can sort of flip-flop. And you know, even then, that might still be a little low, you know, just based off of what we're hearing around the industry and the way mock drafts and everything are going. I think he's a guy that could end up being possibly the third back taken behind Geis and behind Saquon. But for me, yeah, I think it's a situation where you can sort of flip-flop Ronald Jones around that, you know, 1.07 to 1.09 spot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You like them both more than Chubb?
Oh, no. Chubb's my RB3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
I got confused.
No, there. Nick Chubb's my RB3. He's right behind. I'm just saying he has a chance to jump up behind.
Depending what teams are looking for.
Yeah. He has a chance to jump up behind Geis and Barkley. But other guys, you know, I think one that's really improved his stock is, you know, Rashad Penny from San Diego State. Just because, I mean, he's leading all running backs in production in terms of his dominator rating. I mean, he's sitting he has a 47.42%. dominator rating, which that's pretty insane for, you know, a FBS running back.
It's a dominator rating for those out there that don't know.
Yeah, that's something I was gonna get to. So dominator rating for running backs is just it's their entire contributions to an offense from a production standpoint, you know, they're the percentage of yards and touchdowns for an offense. Okay. If we're talking receivers, then it's the receiving production. Their contributions to that offense from their receiving production. So he's at the tops of the class, followed by Bryce Love. And he's just a guy who, I mean, you know, I've sort of said it a lot about all these guys, but he's another one that just shows really good, you know, agility. And he's in a situation where teams absolutely know who's getting the ball. And Rashad Penny is still a guy that's able to overcome that and able to, you know, really enforce his will on defenses. And he's another one who he has the ability, from what I've seen, to break tackles. He's got the good short area quickness, and he can be really productive out of the backfield as well. So he's a guy that I think jumps into the first round. And another one that I just want to put out there, a receiver, is Anthony Miller from Memphis. Depending on how his Senior Bowl goes and his combine, I think he's one that's drastically improved his draft stock, and he's just a do-it-all guy, possibly the best hands in an entire college football. And, wow, you know, he's got really good refined route running, a very quick release. He doesn't necessarily run the whole route tree, but you can just see it with the fluidness and in his ability to dip his hips and not lose any momentum into his breaks. And he's one that's really fun to watch. He's a little older as well, but I like him.
His dominator rating must be nuts, because he has put up some huge games for Memphis. He had like a 200-yard, 3-touchdown game at the half a couple weeks ago, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. I don't know if you have that number in front of you, but he seems to be almost their entire offense.
Yeah, no, he's looking at 37.87%. And the thing is with these stats is, so I'm a film guy first, you know, and I know there's always the metrics versus film analytics argument out there. I'm a film guy first. I just like to sit down and watch these guys and then sort of pair the two together. I'm not the best at it. You know, it's something I'm trying to learn. I'm not the biggest statistical guy. But I think, you know, there's something there, and there's something that needs to be looked at in terms of evaluating guys. So yeah, he's got a 37.87% dominator rating, which for receivers, that's really good. You know, anything over 30% is where you want to be, I guess, in terms of that production metric.
But shouldn't your dominator rating be better if you play at Memphis as opposed to LSU or Southern Cal?
Well, that's the thing. And a lot of people, they like to – well, not a, Russell Russell J. Clay, you know, one of the guys on Twitter, he separates the two. He separates Power 5 and non-Power 5. And, you know, that could be the case, and that should be the case, you would think. I mean, Corey Davis, for example, last year, he was a guy that was way up there. But I still think if it's a situation where if you're a wide receiver at the FBS and D1 level, it's if you got over a 30% share of dominator rating, I think it's well enough. I think he's done his job, and you can't really ask for more. And if you watch it, you can tell that he is pretty much their entire offense. And, you know, sometimes he can't really dictate whether the ball is going to go to him or not. But when it does go to him, he makes the most of his opportunity.
Yeah, Matt, I think that's a good point, though. And Lawrence, I agree with you. But I remember going back to that 2014 class, everybody talked about Jordan Matthews' dominator rating coming out of Vandy. And I mean, I'm a Kentucky guy. Everybody knows that. And it's like us and Vandy at the bottom of the SEC barrel. And when schools like that, even though they are Power 5, when they have good players come through, yeah, Matt, they should dominate.
Sure.
So yeah, I think they should, and maybe that, I don't know, maybe they don't get as much credit, but it's certainly what you want to see from talented players like that. And if it were any lower, then yeah, it would maybe be a red flag at that point. Lawrence, we've talked a lot about potential first round or top 12 dynasty prospects. Let's go a little bit deeper. We've had lots of second and third, even fourth round rookie picks from this class of 2017 who have already contributed this season to fantasy teams. Are there any deeper guys? I'm sure there are, but tell us a couple of your favorite deeper guys that are probably going to be second, third, or fourth round rookie picks, but you think could see their value increase pretty quickly.
So right now, as it sits, this guy from, you know, a notoriety standpoint, he's probably a late second round pick in terms of value where he currently sits. But I think one things get closer to when we're doing our rookie drafts and all that stuff, he's going to be a guy that may be able to squeak in to possibly even the first round. And this is Michael Gallup from Colorado State. I just sort of finished up the Mountain West conference, you know, looking at the seniors in that conference, and he's just a guy that, you know, extremely productive, but you can just see it in him, you know, his release off the line of scrimmage and his ability to use his hands and fight those DBs and gain separation and still hold the red line. You know what I mean? And by the red line, I just mean, you know, being able to keep that space between him and the sideline so he's not getting pushed out of the play. He's a guy that holds that red line. He goes up and attacks the ball. Great athleticism. Wasn't used too often down in the red zone, but as soon as they started using him, you could really see that he is a good red zone threat. And he's one that I think, you know, the value is going to be there. Right now, currently, he's, you know, second round guy. We'll see how that ends up. You know, another one that I really think will impress people is DJ Moore out of Maryland. He's just a hard-nosed player. He doesn't have the size. I think he might be listed around 6 foot, 210 or something like that, but I'm not sure if he's quite that big. But he's one, if anybody out there has watched Deebo Samuel from South Carolina, well, he ended up, you know, getting injured, missing the rest of the season. And it's like, well, you know, that's a bummer. But then you look, you know, up the coast and you go to Maryland and there's DJ Moore, who's very similar to Deebo Samuel. And he's just one that I think he's a do-it-all type, you know, very good after the catch, great vision in the open field. And he's another one that I think is going to be extremely valuable when the season comes around, or the draft season comes around. And if he's a guy that goes, you know, third round, fourth round, I think he's going to be a steal.
Yeah, I really like what I've seen from Gallup, and you're getting me interested in DJ Moore because I do like Samuel. So I'll have to make sure to focus on that next time I catch Maryland on TV. Let's run through the four positions here. Just hit on a couple questions from each. We'll begin, of course, with quarterback. It's got some depth, it seems like, depending on who ends up declaring. You talked about the rumors that Sam Darnold might go back to school. So there's, I like the depth of the class, but none of the guys really seem to be stepping up and kind of claiming that QB1 spot. Do you view that as a good thing or a bad thing for this class?
I think for NFL teams, you know, I think that's a good thing because they're able to, you know, sort of feel out the process and then eventually, you know, strike once they find their guy, because there is not, from an overall perspective and in the industry, from what we do, there's not a number one guy. You know, you can get, you ask five different people and you'll probably come up with three different answers. But for me personally, I mean, I still prefer Josh Rosen. I think he's the guy, you know, he's going to want to shore up his footwork a little bit, but in terms of his ability to maneuver in the pocket and his velocity on his throws, and just from a cerebral standpoint, I think he just gets it. I think he understands what's in front of him and he knows how to read coverages. You can see him checking in and out of certain plays. And, you know, I really like Josh Rosen. He's not going to give, you know, that flashy look that Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson give. But when you're evaluating guys for the NFL, you know, you want to think of the NFL game and not necessarily the college game. And I think he's the top guy. You know, that's why I prefer. That's why I preferred last year. That's why I continue to prefer, even though guys like Mayfield and Jackson have really rose. And I get it. I appreciate Baker Mayfield's game as well. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how many guys go in the first round of the NFL draft. But from a super flex and two QB standpoint, I think this is one of the best drafts for us as dynasty owners in quite some time.
Yeah, I agree.
But don't you think if you look through a fantasy lens, don't you have to boost Lamar Jackson quite a bit?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fantasy land, definitely. I think, you know, if he gets in a situation and if he's in a situation to succeed, even if he's not, you know, I think everything about him is just so intriguing, and his ability to run. I think definitely from a fantasy perspective, he might end up going, you know, the first quarterback off the board for what we do.
Especially after seeing Watson this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm here in Louisville, and you know, the thoughts and feelings just around the program, and this is no kind of insider information, just coming from fans who are, you know, on the message boards and listening to talk radio and stuff like that every single day. I don't think it's a lock that he declares this year.
That's one name. Sorry to interrupt you. That's one name when you brought up the whole guys return into school. That's one name I almost brought up. I was like, I'll just leave it.
But so, he could use the work. I mean, going back to school wouldn't be a terrible idea.
Well, you've heard for the past 2 years, people doubting if he can play quarterback in the league and if he has the arm strength and the accuracy. I think he's much improved this year. You wouldn't know it by some of the media attention because their team is not as good. Last year they were in the playoff hunt, and that helped him win the Heisman Trophy. His numbers are just slightly off what they were last year, and you never really hear much about him from national media. But I hope he does declare. I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm a fan of his, and I really don't know how you can watch him and not be a fan of his. It's just such a fun player to watch and cheer for. Lawrence, let's move on to the running back position really quickly. Again, we talked a little bit about Barkley and Geis. Those guys are pretty well locked in at not only 1-2 in the running back ranks, but almost certainly 1-2 overall in most rookie drafts. What's the depth like behind those guys? I know you talked about Nick Chubb and Ronald Jones. What about Freeman and any other guys like that you might like?
Yeah, no, in terms of depth of this class, I think it's another one where, you know, any of these NFL running backs that are coming up have a high cap hit, I think they need to be worried, you know, and guys that haven't really performed too well, they need to be worried. And I was thinking that last year with these next two classes, it's like, you know, nobody's safe. And it's sort of a situation where I wanted to go more so towards the youth when drafting in startups this year, just because of that. Guys that come to mind, I mean, you know, the depth behind the top guys, you know, you got John Kelly out of Tennessee, who has been fantastic this year. And he's another one, despite his size, he's a hard-nosed runner. And then you got my two guys in Washington. I mentioned Myles Gaskin earlier. Also LaVon Coleman, who, if you guys know Robert Turbin, you know those huge biceps. That's the same type of deal that you're getting with LaVon Coleman. He's got the size, you know, ideal NFL build, six foot, 230, 235, something like that. But he has the agility to go along with it, and he is really could be really productive out of the backfield, just because based off what I've seen with his ability to sort of show some natural hands and catch the ball, you know. And there's a handful of other names, but those are guys that are sort of down the board that I personally like. And don't know, this whole class, it's going to be fun. I mean, Ryan Nall, Oregon State, the big white running back, he's sort of built like a fridge. He's another one who could surprise some people and go in the fifth round and be productive if he decides to declare. And I don't know, you guys mentioned Kerryon Johnson. Matt mentioned Kerryon Johnson. He's another one. And it's deep, man. And I could go on and on. Obviously, one that must be mentioned is Royce Freeman, just because he's been productive since his freshman season at Oregon. And last year he was hampered. He played with an injury all season, got a lot of people down. But when I seen him live against Washington a couple weeks ago, it was I liked what I seen. I liked that he improved his lateral quickness. And he's another guy like Nick Chubb who possesses very good vision. So it's another really deep class. And like I said, I think some guys that are getting up there in age need to watch out for their jobs.
How about the other dude from Georgia, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Michelle.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm glad you bring him up, because I would have forgot to mention him, and he's another one that definitely needs to be mentioned. He's one that some people actually like him more than Chubb, just because you mentioned the spread style offenses and everything and how they want to be have versatile running backs. He's that, you know, but he also has the size to go along with it. Very athletic player. And yeah, he has a ton of ability to show that production out of the backfield. And he's just natural at it. You know, he's very smooth. I remember seeing a video in the summertime, I think it was this last summer, where he was talking about him and Nick Chubb catching balls. And he's like, well, yeah, you know, Nick can do it. He's just not as smooth as me. And he sort of nailed it right on the, you know, he sort of nailed it, because that's the truth. You know, he's extremely smooth. And yeah, I think he's going to be another guy that NFL team gets a steal, just because he's sharing the backfield with Nick Chubb and isn't getting as much notoriety as he should be.
Lawrence, I keep thinking about this current rookie class we've got, and again, how spoiled we are, especially when it comes to running backs, with Fournette and McCaffrey and Cook before his injury and all these guys. But really, from a dynasty perspective, the story has been Alvin Kamara, probably because he was lower ranked than those guys coming in. So maybe you were able to grab him in the late first or the early second round, and you're reaping those benefits now. Of course, I would say his strength is more of a pass catcher out of the backfield. But he's really just an electric playmaker all around, and he can run between the tackles when called on. So if there's an Alvin Kamara in this class who might be a little underrated, but he's more of that PPR type back, who do you think it would be? I've got a couple names in mind, so I'm really interested to hear who you like for this question.
I'm interested to hear your names as well. But, you know, the three names that come to mind for me, I mentioned two of them already, and that's, the guy that backed up Kamara last year, and John Kelly, who's had a tremendous year. He's another one that brings that you know, PPR aspect to his game. And then obviously Damian Harris out of Alabama. These are two guys that are sort of built in the same mold as Kamara and aren't really hyped up as much as the rest of the running backs in this class. So I think those are some guys that, you know, maybe slipping down there that you're able to snag at the back end of the second round or wherever Kamara's ADP ended up. And I think those are two that comp well to him. And another one who I was so high on leading into this year was Akram Wadley from Iowa, who he has that in his game. He has, he's a guy who's he understands, you know, how to line up and run routes, but he's just extremely fluid. And he's a guy that is elusive as hell and makes people miss. So those are the three names that come to mind.
So you think those three have some every down qualities, not just receiving backs?
Yeah, no, I mean, they're built to be every down backs. Wadley, he's a guy that's a little lighter. I think he was, might've been breaking 200 pounds at the start of the year. He might be there. I'm not quite sure, but yeah, I think these guys have the ability to be every down backs.
Yeah, one of mine was Michelle, the guy we just talked about. It seems like he was kind of in that backup pass catching role when Chubb has been healthy, but when Chubb's had his injuries over the past couple of years, Michelle has stepped right in and been able to carry the ball as well. So I don't know if you feel like those two guys compare similarly, but that was the first name that came to my mind.
Yeah, no, and I think you nailed it. And that's the fun thing about this class is there's so many guys, and you're going to get so many different opinions, to where, you know, it's like you can sort of pair anybody with any situation with this running back class. And I like, you know, like I said just a little bit ago, I really do like Michelle, and he's just going to be a fun one. I know my Seahawks are going to be looking for a running back, and this is definitely one of the best years to be doing it.
Or two or three, right?
Probably four. I just tweeted out the other day that this is why. All right, here's my take on why the Seahawks should not roster a running back or an O-line. And I just put thread, you know, sort of a joke for Twitter. But yeah,
they also have a penchant for taking the most injury-prone running backs in the league.
I know, man.
Like, it's insane.
It's odd, and that's something I brought up last year, and people sort of got on my tail about. You know, well, no, this guy, he only had a hurt ankle for this amount of time and this and that. But it's like, man, dude, you know, that's one thing where it's like, I want them to take Nick Chubb. But obviously his injury history, that just wouldn't be a good mix with Seattle because we have the worst of luck with these running backs.
Let's finish up, Lawrence, with the wide receiver position. I really feel like both 2017 and this 2018 class are going to challenge dynasty owners like myself and Matt. Lawrence, I don't know what your overall dynasty philosophy is, but it seems like everybody the past few years has been building around wide receivers, both in startup drafts and really in rookie drafts too. It's not going to be possible with the way these running backs, the strength of the running back class, and I guess you could say the overall weakness of the wide receiver class. Do you feel that same way? Do you feel like the running backs are kind of just overtaking the receivers over these past couple of years?
Yeah, and that's something I wish that, you know, I felt coming into this last year, like obviously we've seen, you know, what was out there with this last running back class, and coming into my rookie drafts, you know, there was a couple drafts where I had a number of picks, and I wish I would have, obviously it's in hindsight, but I wish I would have just really attacked the running back position just because there hasn't been many productive rookies. And I know they take time at the wide receiver position, but, you know, I really wish I would have attacked the running back class. And it's another situation where, there's going to be some guys sprinkled in throughout at the wide receiver position that are going to hit just because that's what happens. But yeah, I think it's another year where we attack these running backs, and you know, it's for good reason. You know, there's a ton of production, you know, ton of great skill sets out there at the running back position, and it does feel like they're taking over.
So Lawrence, you shared some of your top receivers. You mentioned Sutton, Tate, Washington, and Ridley all as potential top eight dynasty picks in rookie drafts. You talked about Gallup and DJ Moore as those sleepers. One name you didn't hear, or I didn't hear, was my favorite wide receiver heading into this season, who's had kind of a quiet year, Equanimeous St. Brown. What are your thoughts on him? Do you think he's even going to declare at this point? Notre Dame has had a great season overall, but with kind of more of a focus on a running game, including their quarterback, St. Brown has kind of taken a back seat.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, there's other receivers, you know, Deion Kane, we didn't mention Richie James. Richie James, you know, he's been injured. Deion Kane, he deserves to be mentioned, but Equanimeous St. Brown, he's just last year when I watched him, you know, he's one guy that I broke down for our Debbie watch that we put out, and you know, we sort of split it up to give guys even looks, and he's one that I tackled for that project. And there was just certain things in his game that I wasn't too fond of. I thought, you know, obviously he's got the thin build, but his dad was Mr. Universe, I want to say two times or something. So, you know, he's got it in his genetics to fill that body out. So I'm not really concerned about that area, but when he's running his routes, he's sort of, you know, at the stem, he's not necessarily keeping that you know, the fluid movements through it and the speed through it, and he's sort of rounding his routes off. Those are just two of the knocks that I had on him, and I wish that he was a little bit more physical, but obviously the potential is there. And I thought, you know, he was gonna have a tremendous season, and Wimbush has completely hampered that, their quarterback, just because he's they got the run game going and he's very inaccurate as a passer. Sort of hurt that receiving group as a whole, but man, I think it's gonna be tough. I would think he's got a return, you know, to sort of show his potential. I think he's only got 300 receiving yards up to this point. And anytime you see regression like that, that's sort of a red flag. So for me, I think it's a situation where he might have to return to school.
Yeah, I was afraid you'd say that. I've got some Devy shares of him that might might just have to sit on the taxi squad for another year, but I am excited to see him hopefully eventually get to the NFL, see what he can do.
Yeah, I would definitely be perfectly fine with him coming out this year just because I have my own shares as well, you know what I mean? And he's got one of the highest ceilings in this class just because he's so athletic. He's got the length, you know, he's sort of that AJ Green type. But yeah, the production just wasn't there. So I hope he declares, but if I was a guy that was, you know, sort of in his ear, I would tell him to return for another year in hopes that they figure out that quarterback position.
Well, yeah, that's the only downside. It seems, I mean, Winbush, again, they've had a successful year. I think they've lost, just lost two games, and they were kind of in the national title hunt until that most recent loss.
Miami, yeah.
Yeah, Miami, thank you. So, I mean, we have to assume that Winbush is going to be back under center next year as well, which – it might be just more of the same.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting to watch through the bowl season and as these college players make their decisions.
Yeah, I think anytime we get a situation like that, it's almost like what we see with these LSU. You know, they get the good top recruits at the wide receiver position, and then they fail to get a good quarterback. Well, you know, they Notre Dame lost to Sean Kizer. They got Brandon Winbush still, and I don't think it's a situation. They found a recipe for success, and that's running the ball and running their quarterback. And, you know, if that's going to bring them to a position to where they're on a national scale and in the hunt, I think they continue to roll with that. So that could sort of, you know, put something in EQ's mind that he might have to make the jump, but we'll see. It's going to be an interesting watch for sure.
All right. Well, Lawrence, thanks so much for joining us today. Just go ahead and tell our listeners where they can find all of your work.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate you reaching out and getting me on this podcast. It's a real honor. But you can follow me on Twitter at Pacific Scouting, and I host the Debbie Watch podcast. You know, where we talk about all ton of prospects that are in college and high school. About to jump on that and record here in a few hours. We're gonna go over some our all underrated team this week, and that'll drop tomorrow. And you know, all my work's gonna be found on DynastyFootballFactory.com, and the handle, I believe, is at @DFF_dynasty.
Good stuff.
Yeah, very good stuff. And yeah, if you enjoyed this episode talking college players and upcoming rookie classes, then definitely check out the Debbie Watch podcast. That's all they do, and they do a great job of it. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.